Let us listen reverently to the reading of God's word. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks in the nails of his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Shall we pray? Blessed God, we have heard your word read. Now, Holy Spirit, speak to us that we may hear what you have us to hear today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. My opening illustration for this message today has to do with the two dogs that my wife and I have. We have a black lab and we have a Chiweeny, a dachshund chihuahua mix. I named it Chiweeny. Are you surprised? I believe they talk at night. They decide what they're going to do in the morning, because when I take them into the backyard to do their dog business in the backyard, they inevitably, they do this. They go, just like that. One goes this way, one goes that way. They go as far as that adjustable thing will allow them to go, then they stop. And it seems to be 4 feet shorter than where they want to go. So each of them looks at me with their beautiful brown eyes and they say, "Father, please help me. I can't get where I need to go, and my shoulders are just, you know, I'm stretching. Like I feel like a scarecrow in my backyard." They do that. Every day, once in a while they'll do this, but most of the time they do this. And I want to say to them, "I'm sorry, I'm only one person. I can't do but so much. So you'll just have to where you are." You understand. But that explains a human situation, does it not? That if we are honest with ourselves, we have to admit that, beloved, we are stretched farther than we need to be, and we really would like to be at two places at once, and we can't be at two places at once. Try raising your child and holding down a job. Where do you want to be? Where do you need to be? It's a tension, isn't it? For us, it was needing to be at two different soccer games at the same place, at the same time, at two different places. I once received a phone call from two different funeral homes where they told me I had two different funerals at the same time in two different funeral homes, and neither family was willing to change because it was important that it be done at that time. I had to find a substitute pastor for one of the funerals. It is a conundrum, isn't it? having desires to be at more than one place at a time, and just realizing that we are one body. We can only do one thing in this 24 hours that God has given us as a gift. It would be nice to have a cloning machine, but it doesn't exist. But I can say to you, in Christ, we can be two places at the same time. We heard two different scripture lessons that seem on the outside not to have anything to do with one another. First of all, we heard from the first chapter of the book of Revelation, John was writing from the Isle of Patmos. John was in exile there on the isle. He was in exile because he would not bow down to the Roman Emperor Domitian and call him Lord and God, which is what he required, that everyone bow down and call him Lord and God. And John and many others would not do it, but because John was so powerful and so prominent an individual, the Roman government felt that it would be terrible to put him to death because he would be too powerful a martyr. So they said, we'll just remove him, put him on the Isle of Patmos to die. And he knew he would not leave that place alive. So there he was on the Isle of Patmos. In the second scripture reading, we have the disciples gathered together shortly after the resurrection of Jesus. They knew Jesus had risen from the dead. They knew he was alive, and yet they were in fear for their lives, so they locked themselves behind church doors. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It is so easy for us to gather behind closed doors and act all Christian toward one another. But we're afraid, aren't we, to invite others in. So these two stories from two different books seem to have nothing in common, but there is something that they have in common, that even though John was not able to go and worship, God came to where he was. In the midst of his despair, in the midst of his frustration, God came to him, and the book of Revelation was written there on the Isle of Patmos. As he was gathered on the Lord's day, God said, I will meet you where you are. If you cannot come to me, I will come to where you are, and I will meet your needs where you find yourselves. The same goes for those disciples gathered together, locked behind closed doors. Christ says, if you won't come to me, I will come to you, and I will offer you peace where there is no peace. As I read from Revelation, it reminds me of how we don't necessarily have to be in church to feel the presence and the love of God. In 1975, I spent nearly a year working at a gas station in Raleigh because my grades were such that the dean of students said I didn't need to come back to school for a set amount of time. I was kicked out of college, is what I'm trying to say. It just doesn't sound right when you say that I was kicked out of college. So I came back to work at a gas station. I needed the money, so I worked 14 hours a day. Monday through Friday, 11 hours on Saturday, and only 8 hours on Sunday. That was my day of rest, Sunday. Only 8 hours of working at a gas station. And because I was not able to go to church on Sunday morning, I wrestled with that. How do you justify being a Christian if you're not able to go to church? But there was a radio there by the cash register, and there was a wonderful radio, a Christian, contemporary Christian radio station called Powerline, and I would sit there and listen and worship and sing and sense God's presence. And I felt that God was there with me in that little aisle where I was. It wasn't the Isle of Patmos, but God met me where I was. And when we gather here on Sunday morning, God meets us where we are. Very few of us come into church with a bounce in our step and a smile on our face, and when asked, "How are you doing?" "Oh, everything's fine." We may say it, but rarely is it true. We come with our pain. We come with our frustrations. We come with our sorrows. We come with baggage. And yet God meets us where we are. That is why communion is so important to us, beloved. It is not just a gathering together to remember what God has done in the past. It is the fact that we are meeting with the risen Christ here and now, just like he walked through those doors with the disciples. He walks among us now and meets us where we are. We can be at two places at one time. We can be in a horrible moment in life because of our discipleship, but we can also be in the Spirit. We can be facing difficulties with our health, with our finances, with our marriage, and yet God can walk through the door, meet you where you are, and breathe the Holy Spirit upon you. We can be facing struggles that we've never faced before, and yet while singing, while praying, while receiving the offering, while receiving the bread and the blood, we are reminded we are not alone. That's why John Wesley challenged us to have communion as often as we do. And that's why he challenges us to have open communion, because that same power that touches and strengthens our lives can touch and strengthen the life of someone who does not even believe. Beloved, I don't know what you're facing. I can't read your mind and you can't read mine. But I know that if you are human, and I believe that you are, you're bearing burdens. And often burdens you don't need to bear. These burdens may or may not be lifted off of you while you gather to worship. But in this time and in this place, God can meet us where we are and bring life to us. Christ can come and reveal himself to us. In Christ, we can be at two places at once. Shall we pray? God, as we come to you in just a few moments to break the bread and to participate in communion, as we bring ourselves as holy and living sacrifices, we are grateful that you aren't 2 or 3 miles away looking from afar. You are here with us. Help us to come to you in our situation. And may we be in the Spirit as we gather with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.